today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
I don't think there's any of us who doesn't want to please God and have the sense that he is affirming, appreciative of us. For what woman does not need affirmation and appreciation? It's when we try to get that affirmation and appreciation from anyone other than God that we get into trouble. Not that we cannot affirm and encourage and build each other up. In fact, the Bible tells us we must do that. And yet it's when God says thank you, when he says from heaven, you are my queen of hearts, that we become happy with ourselves and we can become queen of our own hearts.
Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe opens a series about finding your worth and security from the only one who can truly satisfy, God. It's a fresh, slightly different perspective from the Proverbs 31 woman. And Jill tells you more in a moment. What in your mind makes a great marriage? And how do you get there? In a new 6-message series, Pete Briscoe shows you some secrets to a successful marriage. This special series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, and request Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Now, here's Jill with the start of her message, Queen of the Lord's Heart.
Proverbs chapter 31. I want to read this passage of scripture right through so that we get an overall look at it, but we're going to start at verse 10, where this poem, which is an acrostic, an ABC of wisdom, basically, Proverbs is all about wisdom, or the lack of it. And we have here the wife of noble character, a wife of wisdom, and it's a poem, it's an acrostic, and each of the letters, A, B, C, D, E, of the Hebrew alphabet, deals with one virtue, a virtue of the perfect, if you like, awesome woman. A wife of noble character who can find she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark, provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls, considers a field, buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks, and she sees her trading is profitable, and her lamp doesn't go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. And her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now here indeed, talking about awesome women, is the bionic Christian woman. Fortunately, she never existed, save in the imagination or the mind of a woman, certainly a queen, who was giving her son Lemuel some advice. And among the advice she gave, she talked about the sort of woman to look for when he chose a bride. And so she uses this poem, this acrostic, and she, as it were, spells out all the virtues of a virtuous woman. Now, if the man can find a woman with half those virtues, he's going to find a priceless treasure. But what a wonderful thing it is to look at a model or look at the virtues that go in to make a scriptural bionic lady, a queen of God's heart, and see what that consists of. Years and years ago, I wrote a book called Queen of Hearts, and the material that I'm going to share with you, as well as new material, is out of that book. And this is what I wrote at the beginning of it. How can I do it all? Be the woman God wants me to be, my husband adores, my children demand, my boss requires, my friends depend on. The Proverbs 31 woman has long stood as the Statue of Liberty at the harbor of the city of womanhood, welcoming all who flee from being anything less than perfect. But what if I have runs in my stockings? I'm sure they were all right when I left home. Consistently lose one of my husband's socks in the washing machine, and regularly misplace my car in the supermarket parking lot. It's blue, sir. I know it's blue. Is there any hope for me if I dream of writing a book about my small children called From Here to Insanity? Or if I'm shaped like a pillow instead of a post? Do I have to perform to please, compete to catch a man and keep him? Or can I stay single and dare to like it? God's Queen of Hearts will help me find out how to be the best that I can be. Not a woman who is perfectly becoming, but a woman who is becoming perfect, little by little, day by day. Now, I'm sure all of us would like to be a queen of hearts, queen of our husband's hearts, our children's hearts, our servants' hearts, our merchants' hearts. And we would like to be queen of God's heart. I don't think there's any of us who doesn't want to please God and have the sense that he is affirming, appreciative of us. For what woman does not need affirmation and appreciation? It's when we try to get that affirmation and appreciation from anyone other than God that we get into trouble. Not that we cannot affirm and encourage and build each other up. In fact, the Bible tells us we must do that. And yet it's when God says thank you, when he says from heaven, you are my queen of hearts, that we become happy with ourselves. And we can become queen of our own hearts. Now, the Bible says in this passage, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Now, her husband values her, but so does God. She was of infinite worth because an infinite God had given his infinite son to win us or her infinite life. And feeling good about yourself becomes a reality when you realize that God feels good about you. And he feels good about you when you love his son. That's where it all starts. When God looks down from heaven and sees you kneeling by your bed saying, Lord Jesus, I love you, he says thank you. And his heart smiles. You are queen of his heart. Do we want to be queen of the Lord's heart? Well, of course, it starts when we have this relationship with him. And I don't suppose there's anyone here today that hasn't started on that relationship. In case there is, let me tell you, it is a must if you're ever going to feel good about yourself. You'll never, ever know what a good self-image is until you realize you are made in the image of God, after his image, and try and figure out what he has in mind for you. And that's when you come into your own in such a degree that you can forget yourself and pour your life into other people. I remember coming to America and being asked to speak to what I call, in one of my books, the ultra suede ladies. And I was absolutely petrified of them. American women really intimidated me. They seemed so sure, so together, so just put together, I suppose, and they made the best of themselves, and they had poise, and they just could do it. But I suppose it was the way they dressed and the way they made up and all of that, that I, coming from England, where Christians didn't even wear makeup, was something that was way out of my orbit. And again, I felt very intimidated, especially when I was up there on a platform asked to address them. And I wasn't doing a very good job doing that because I was so self-conscious of my clothes or whatever it was that I was wearing or not wearing. And I remember it came to a climax in the number one club or club one or something like that on a golf course in Palm Beach, where a friend of mine who was probably the wealthiest young woman in Palm Beach, married to the biggest estate guy in town, had been running a Bible study. She was a Christian, and she filled the country club, this club one on the golf course, with all her friends. And she asked me to go speak to them. And I went in sheer obedience because it was one of those things that I was not certainly looking forward to. And as I sat there, I got more and more miserable. Every single woman that came through that door looked as though she'd stepped off Harper's Bazaar. I mean, I am not kidding. And I began to shrink down in my seat, and I was sharing this table with these gorgeous, glamorous, beautiful Hollywood-type women. And I began to talk to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if only I looked like them, then they'd listen to me. If only I dressed like them, then they'd heed what I have to say. I know when I stand up, they're going to be looking at my clothes, and I just feel so Sears. And as I began to sort of complain and whine, I don't know if you ever do that internally, into the room came this beautiful Harper's Bazaar creature, and she sort of poised in the door, and everyone in that room turned and looked, which is what she was looking for, I suppose. And the women around my table stiffened. And the Lord said to me, what's happening? And I said, competition? He said, yeah. And then that still small voice said to me, Jill, you'll never be competition. And it freed me. Because my concern was, if I didn't look like them, if I didn't dress like them, if I didn't measure up to the image they were expecting, then I wasn't worth anything. You see, the image people expect is one thing, that self-image that is projected, that they expect you to fit into and mold yourself to. Self-worth is what you think about that image that they're putting on you. And because that image was the image and the thing in that room and in that society, and I didn't measure up, my self-worth was like this. But as soon as God said to me, you'll never be competition, it set me free, because the heart of the matter was this. I wanted them to know the Lord, and I wanted them to come to Him. And if I had been as gorgeous as they were, then I would have been competition. And they would have stiffened when I started, not softened, because I was just like their comfortable old ugly aunt. Well, you know, I'm exaggerating this a little bit just to show you where I'm at. But it just set me free. And I really, I think I had one of the best meetings of my life. I mean, I just went for it. And there are still women, there was a Jewish woman found Christ that day, there's still ripples of that meeting that I meet when I go back to Palm Beach. It was a very, very big turning point in my life when I realized that God was saying, you're my Queen of Hearts.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, and she's headed right back to Proverbs 31 for more about finding your esteem not from people, but from God. The Secrets to a Successful Marriage is a new 6-part series from Pete Briscoe that helps you take your marriage to a divine level of fulfillment and satisfaction. The series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellmethetruth.org. Now, here's more from Jill.
I don't know if you noticed here that it doesn't say anything about her looks. Did you notice that? We don't know what she looked like, but beauty is not mentioned. How she looked is not mentioned. How she lived is mentioned. And that was beautiful. The virtues, the values that we see here in this acrostic are beautiful as far as her King of Hearts, her earthly King of Hearts, was concerned. Charm is deceitful, he says, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, oh, she shall be praised. Doesn't mean she wasn't charming. It doesn't mean she wasn't beautiful. And God intends us to make the best of ourselves in every sense of the word, the best of what He's given us. No question about that. And He wants us to be charming and beautiful. But that is not the end. And the problem is with our society, it's deceiving. Charm is deceitful. We've got this idea, if you're popular, and charm has the idea of personality, of just pizzazz, charisma. And when you turn on your television or you take your magazines, you meet that demand, that image demand. And if I'm not like that, then my self-worth goes down like this. Now, it's what God thinks of us that matters and that frees us up from that. And we're deceived if we think the most important thing is to try and get some sense of worth from other people's opinions. It's vain to believe that beauty in the outward sense only is the most important thing. Outward sense only. Now, this woman, whoever she was, or the composite of this perfect woman, God mattered most. She feared the Lord. Now, what does that phrase mean? It means a reverential trust with a hatred of evil. She trusted God. She trusted God for all sorts of things, as we shall see. God trusts us to trust him. He has faith in us that we will say to him, I will accept how you made me, when you made me, and all the rest of it. When you made me, that's how old I am. Can we accept where we are? I remember coming up to my 50th birthday. It's a long time ago, but I do remember it. And I remember that was the hard one. And my husband, in his usual pragmatic, practical way, was trying to help me one day. And he said, Jill, do you believe you were born at the right time? And I said, yes. He said, do you believe you've been living at the right speed? I said, yes. He said, do you believe you'll be dead on time? Yes. Doesn't that help? No. So that was his advice. And yet it's true. I was born at the right time, I believe it. I've been living at the right speed, I believe it. Therefore, I'm the right age, and I will be dead on time. My times are in his hands. And the seasons of our life are something that we can come to accept when we are his queen of hearts, when we have this relationship going so that God can link into our fears and our worries and our phobias and our self-worth and lack of it and whatever else it is. Now, there isn't a woman I know that doesn't need this acceptance and appreciation and affirmation, but you have to learn to get it from God. You have to learn to get it from God. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord? Perhaps if you work and your boss has been down on you and saying you're absolutely no good, and do you know how to go to God and say, is this true? And to weed out the criticism and to own what you need to own and to try and put right what you need to put right, but not to own what you don't need to own. Because you go to God and say, you tell me this. Wonderful passage in Corinthians. It is a very small thing that I am judged of you or of any human court. Why, I don't even judge myself, says Paul. It is the Lord that judges me. He's the one that knows the motives of my heart. He's the one I will ask about this marvelous passage of Scripture. And if we are going to escape from trying to fit in to people's expectations, which is a dead end and can lead to all sorts of problems, then we have to get this sorted out. What must I do to be praised, cries today's woman, instead of what must I do to praise him and make sure others do the same? I think about my own children struggling with self-image as they grew up, and I didn't do an awful good job as a parent helping them. I remember Pete, who should have had a bad self-image, but didn't. Growing up, he used to come down in the morning and we would measure him every day. And I remember he grew all that 6'7" between 12 and 13. So you can imagine he was weaving his way towards the sky. And the children's eyes would be waiting around the corner of the kitchen for him to appear each morning. And I remember we measure him each morning. And Judy would say, in a night he grew. It's a monster that we were growing in the house. And you would have thought that Pete at that point would have been a little bit self-conscious, but he wasn't. In fact, he took a quiz at school, he told us cheerily at the dinner table. And he said, Mom, we took this self-image test. I'd never heard of such a thing. So I said, well, what was it? He said, well, the first question is what you like about yourself. So Judy suspiciously asked, so what do you put? He said, I just put everything. That's Pete. Well, the kids were very happy to tell him what they didn't like about him. And we weighed in as well to keep him in his place. But there was a grin on his face. He didn't really mean it. And yet he did. He was happy with his 6'7"-ishness. It was all right. That's how he was made. And Pete had such a good sense of who he was and why he was, where he was, who he was, that it freed him up to give to other people. And that's what God wants to do. And part of that was the fact that he was absolutely convinced it was God that made him to grow to 6'7". He was his little prince of hearts. And that was enough for Pete. And he knew that he was ultra suede on the inside. You know, God released me from that ultra suede trap and showed me that if I would please him and praise him and do all the things that I knew would bring joy to his heart, that I would hear him say to me, "You're my queen of hearts, you're ultra suede on the inside." And when that happens, it frees you up to be unselfconscious and be able to do what you need to do. It comes down to people-pleasing or God-pleasing, in a sense. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She feared God before everyone else, before Joseph, her fiancé, before the priests and the rabbis who could have stoned her to death for apparent adultery, from her family. Why didn't he go to one of his relatives? And that was Joseph's side of the family, because they were in disgrace. He was in disgrace for marrying this woman who'd obviously been unfaithful, and certainly Mary would have been in disgrace. Isn't it funny that we never hear about Mary's mother or Mary's father? Never hear about them. Because Mary chose to please God.
Powerful words from Jill Briscoe on today's Tell Me the Truth, as she talks about where to find true esteem. Jill's right back to offer some advice for the overwhelmed woman and how to accept yourself. Did you know with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth mobile app today. You can listen to messages, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching on what you're experiencing, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth through your mobile app or text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Now, let's chat with Jill about a few key ideas from today's message. Jill, what encouragement would you have for the woman who's frankly overwhelmed and feels underappreciated for all that she does for her family?
Well, we need to get our appreciation from God. You might say, well, how do we do that? Well, we do it by beginning to read our Bibles and look in the Bible for a command to obey or a promise to claim or a warning to heed. As we look at the instructions of the Bible of how to live life, and that's really what the Bible is about, how to live life with God, how to live life with family, how to live life as single, how to live life when trouble comes, it's all there. And so we need to be Bible readers. You need to go out and buy a Bible and ask the bookstore where you go, is there a guide to this? Is there a way that I can just read a little bit each day? Will somebody help me to do this? Lots and lots of ways in which you can start and read the Bible, ask it questions, get the answers literally from the pages of that book. It's a book about life. It's a book about behavior. It's a book about God's presence helping you to be the woman that God wants you to be for you and for your family.
Jill, in our beauty-oriented plastic surgery culture, how can we, especially women, accept where we are in life right now?
Well, you make the most of how God made you. And you spend not an inordinate amount of time doing that in the morning. And then, as my mom used to say, have you done the best you can with yourself? Yes. Okay, go out into today and forget yourself and think about other people and help them. That's good advice from a mom that I adored and that gave me good practical advice. Plastic surgery, I am not qualified to even address the subject of Christians and plastic surgery. I wouldn't know the answer to that, except that anything that helps you make the most of yourself, maybe that falls under that, or maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But for me, I make the most of what God has made me, and then According to my mom's advice, I go out and I forget myself. I've done the best. Now, I think about other people.
Thanks so much, Jill. Right now, when you call and give to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ, we'll say thanks with a new marriage series from Pete called The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. No matter how long you've been married or how good you might think your marriage is, this series can help make your relationship both with God and your spouse even stronger. Call 1-800-889-5388 and ask for Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Tomorrow, we hear the second part of Jill's message, Queen of the Lord's Heart. How do you get your esteem from God? And what does it look like once you start? Listen and experience life when Jill Briscoe takes us back to Proverbs 31 next time here on Telling the Truth.